7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode. And as always, I'm joined by Tim and Tom. Guys, how's it going?
Scoopity whoop.
Whoopity scoop poop.
No. That song is so stupid.
That song is fire. Kanye
is,
he's spitting bars right now.
You're
like
not going to play it, are you? Legend. Oh my God. He's going to play this stupid thing.
That's all I'm gonna get. It's a tease.
Oh, that's awful.
It's
a good song.
Making fun of mumble rappers. Kanye West is an interesting fellow.
So, what do we have for you guys today? It is gonna be some fantasy rankings for the rookies that were just drafted. We are not really touching on the quarterbacks because, in my opinion, and I believe in all of our opinion, no real reason to touch on them because they're probably not going to be playing right away. So we are going to be focusing more on the running backs, the wide receivers, and maybe a couple tight ends.
Maybe.
So, with all that being said, let's start off with running backs. Guys, who is your number one running back for fantasy purposes?
Mine's Saquon. I went number two overall to the Giants. I think he's the best overall back in this draft class, especially in like PPR leagues. You're going to be expecting over 40 to 50 receptions in the season. He's just a transcendent talent, a player on the same level as Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, and you saw what that player can bring to you in fantasy football. You don't really, there's not a huge learning curve. And I think by the time draft day's here, I think he's going to be going at the end of the first round.
He should. It's obviously Saquon. No doubt about it. Not even close. Saquon Barkley, far and away, the best rookie running back.
Yeah, think about what Christian McCaffrey did with Jonathan Stewart there for the Panthers, right? So I think that we're going to see more of Saquon Barkley than we saw of one Christian McCaffrey. And with that being said, we had Christian McCaffrey in what he was top 12? Top 10 running back fantasy purposes last year.
You could was that possibly, full point PPR?
Yeah, it was full point PPR. So he did have 80 receptions, but if you're factoring in possibly 50 receptions for Saquon Barkley, and with his possible rushing ability that he does have, he could end up finishing as a top 5 running back as a rookie, which is very tough to say for some of these guys.
Yeah, 100%. And like, especially dynasty purposes, he's close to the number one or number two overall, like, rankings for a running back right now. Especially, like, with his age, you got Le'Veon Bell getting up there in age, David Johnson coming off a big injury. He's still young, but he's the same age as Le'Veon Bell. You got Zeke and Gurley up there, but Barkley's a special kid, and he should be drafted like that.
This is where I think we all have Saquon 1, right, correct?
Yep.
This is where I think we may have some different opinions for running back 2 here.
I'd like to go first.
Go ahead.
And I mock you because it's fun, and I like seeing you squirm. And I know you hated this pick. My number 2 fantasy back going into next year as for rookies is Ronald Jones II. I love him on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love him in that offense. I feel like he's going to be able to, maybe not a pure three-down running back all the time, but he can catch balls out of the backfield as well. He's going to be able to run between the tackles. Being on a team like that with the O.J. Howards and the other tight end, I'm blanking, Cameron Brate, with Mike Evans, do they still have DeSean Jackson?
Yep.
They still have DeSean Jackson and famous finger-licking good Jameis Winston. I love Ronald Jones II on the Buccaneers. I don't think anyone else is going to get the guaranteed amount of carries that Ronald Jones II is in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you look at the other running backs on their team. Peyton Barber is not a number one running back. Everyone knows that. Peyton Barber even knows that. He is not a number one guy. And then they got rid of Doug Martin the offseason. He's gone. So there was a glaring hole at running back, and a lot of people thought that they could have addressed that in the first round. But pick number 7 was a little high. I thought maybe even with them trading down to where they did originally. I'm like, oh, geez, here it comes. They're going to take a Darius Geis here. And they ended up not doing it. And then you saw Darius Geis go later on in the draft, but they do get Ronald Jones. Now, I remember vividly sitting at the bar texting you guys saying, please don't take Paul Perkins Jr. and or 2.0. And they took him. And you know what? I was very pissed off. I actually left the bar. I paid my tab and left. I was with the girlfriend at the time, and she's like, are you mad? I'm like, absolutely.
Fiance, Josh.
Livid right now. Livid. Yes, fiance. Sorry.
Fiance.
Livid. And I ended up leaving, and I was so upset. And then the more and more I ponder it, and the more and more you guys both tell me how good Ronald Jones is, I am hoping you are correct.
You are going to be the biggest Rojo owner in fantasy football. You will probably own him in every one of your, like, 20 leagues next year.
We'll see.
You are slow playing this right now. I don't mind him, like, landing in Tampa. I don't think he should be number two. I think there's quite a few better players, especially with landing spots. My number two guy is going to be Darius Geis. He was the seventh running back taken. It's unreal. The only good news is last year, the seventh running back taken in the draft was Alvin Kamara. And look where he finished. Geis has that potential. Maybe not in PPR leagues, but he's going to be the bell cow on first and second down. Chris Thompson will get a lot of the workload on third down, but he's going to be a touchdown machine. And we've seen players.
Who's going to be a touchdown machine?
Darius Geis. He's going to get the goal line carries.
Yeah. He'll get the goal line carries.
He's extremely effective running inside the goal line. And I think he was the most, in my eyes, the second most talented running back in this draft class. Top 15 player for me overall. And it was an absolute steal that the Washington Redskins got him in the second round, like, or third round? Second round? Can't remember where
late,
he went.
I can't remember.
But on day two. He should have gone day one. I had him going pick 13 to them in the first round. I think that warranted the pick. But it's a perfect landing spot. You got to think when Jay Gruden was running the offense in Cincinnati, he had Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. Look what he turned Jeremy Hill into. He was a number one running back in the day. And we've seen what the type of player he is right now. He's really nothing special. And probably a second or third string running back on the Patriots. I think Darius Geis has the best potential out of any rookie running back to score over 10 rushing touchdowns this season.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I had Darius Geis as my second ranked running back as well. This is my least favorite landing spot for him. I hate it. He's not going to be a third down running back, which Jay Gruden already came out and said, because yeah. Chris Thompson, fair enough. But he's going to have to prove that he is a better red zone running back than Fat Rob and even Samaje Perine.
You're nuts.
He's going to have to prove it. He's not going to be, you think day one, he's going to come out week one and he's going to be, it's going to be the Darius Geis and Chris Thompson show.
He's the only running back on this team who will come close, or will, he's guaranteed, as long as he's not hurt, to have over 200 rushing attempts this year. Perine and Fat Rob are not getting over 100 rushing attempts.
I will dollar bet you, even if he's healthy and plays in 16 games, he does not break 200 carries. Dollar bet.
Let's do a punch bet. A head kick bet. That's how confident I am right now.
If you win, you get a dollar. If I win, I get to punch you in the face.
Head kick.
I'll get to head kick you in the face.
Let me ask you guys this. With Darius Geis, is he just a first and second down running back with Chris Thompson being that third down guy? And does that diminish his fantasy outlook?
It does diminish his outlook. You got, like, PPR, that's going to move him down the board a little bit. But still, rushing touchdowns, that's valuable.
And yeah.
I think he's got the clear-cut chance to get over 10 this year. And I really think he's going to be the bell cow in Washington. They absolutely loved him. They were probably the team that was releasing all the bad crap about him to TMZ and all that stuff, trying to get him to fall down the draft boards. I love this spot. I don't get how you don't.
If he, unless he falls extremely, extremely late, he will not be on any team that I have.
So let me ask you guys this. We both have, or let me state this. We all have Saquon Barkley 1.
Yep.
And Darius Geis is 2 unanimous for all of us?
No, I have Rojo 2.
Okay, you said 2, but okay. So you have Rojo 2 and then Geis 3?
Yeah.
Do you have Geis 2?
I have Geis 2.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So you have Rojo 3.
Rojo will have more carries than Darius Geis this year.
Okay. No.
So who do you have as three?
Hold on. How no?
Oh my lord.
Peyton Barber's gonna take over those carries. All right. No one else to run it.
So you're worried about Samaje Perine and Fat Rob, but then you're not worried.
One of those guys are not gonna make the team.
Yes. Fact.
They're not gonna carry four running backs. One of them will not make the team.
We'll see.
And you got to look at Rojo's body size. Like, he's only close. He's right around 200 pounds. Darius Geis is over 220. He's got that the better BMI. What are you doing?
I was trying to play.
I mean,
it's a good soundbite, but yeah. No.
I don't know. I just don't get why you think Rojo's going to be a complete bell cow, but then.
Because they don't have anyone else there.
Regardless, here we go.
The Redskins.
Yeah, regardless. You have Rojo 2, Darius Geis 3. You have Darius Geis 2. Who do you have 3?
My number 3 is Sony Michel for the Patriots. We saw last year and last couple years when Deion Lewis was healthy. He's an undersized running back. What he was in that offense. And he is gone. And that spot is clearly open. Kevin White pretty much just comes to play the playoffs. They did sign Jeremy Hill, who might be vulturing some touchdowns, which I fully expect.
Yep.
They also have Rex Burkhead brought back. He's more of a specialized player. He'll probably get, on average, under 5 touches in a game. I think Sony was drafted in the first round to be one of the premier players on that offense. And that's something Bill Belichick does not often do. And I think he's got potential to have over 50 receptions this year. Wasn't really the most prolific receiver at Georgia, but he has shown that he has all the traits to be a prolific running back in the receiving department, and is I think he's got a chance to be that the Alvin Kamara this year.
I wanted to put Sony actually in front of Darius Geis. I wanted to have him at 3. My only question is I kept him at 4 because what's going to keep him off the field is can he learn to fix his blocking? That's going to be the biggest factor with him. Is he going to be able to block and get good enough at blocking and protecting Tom Brady to stay on the field in different situations? If he can become, you know, protect Brady and be a blocking running back as well, then he's going to get it far more. He might be the 3-down running back for the Patriots. We might be shocked and have a 3-down running back for the Patriots. I just think it's going to take some time, and going into the 2018 season, I'm going to put him at 4.
I'm not worried about his pass blocking. I think he was the best pass blocking running back Georgia had last year.
I think you guys are going to hate my pick at 3, so, I mean, it is what it is.
Kerryon Johnson.
No, it's not.
Penny.
No, it's not.
Nick
Mr.
Royce.
Rolls-Royce Freeman. Guys, hear me out, right? CJ Anderson's gone. He's cut.
Yep.
You have Lorenzo Booker, right? Nope. Isn't that his name? Devontae Booker.
Lorenzo
Booker. Yeah, I know. A couple years ago. You have Devontae Booker there. He has not been healthy. He has not been the guy. He has not been what they wanted him to be, right?
Correct.
Look at the Minnesota Vikings. Case Keenum as the quarterback. He had running backs Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, who were top 25 running backs. Those guys are not very good. McKinnon, not too bad in his landing spot where he's going with San Francisco. But, man, Royce Freeman can catch the ball in the backfield as well. I think this is going to be a situation, just like the Bears kind of fell into, where Jordan Howard fell into the lap in the 5th round and ended up becoming the starter out of nowhere. We didn't think he was going to be the starter. I think this is going to be the same situation with Royce Freeman here for the Denver Broncos, and he is going to shock a lot of people where he ends up fantasy-wise by the end of the year.
Josh, I love this. He's my number 5, right in front of Kerryon Johnson and Nick Chubb. I was higher on Freeman than both of you when we broke him down. It was a long time ago when we talked about Royce Freeman. He's a very patient running back. When I was talking about him, he reminds me a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm blanking.
Le'Veon Bell.
Thank you, Le'Veon Bell. Just with the way, not that he's going to be that talent, but the way that he runs. He kind of gets up to the line, stops, and then adjusts and goes from there. He doesn't have the speed that Le'Veon Bell has, but there's not really anything else there in front of him. Devontae Booker is,
He's a guy.
I think Royce Freeman is going to have the opportunity, to your point, Josh, to step up and get a good amount of carries right away.
Yeah, I don't hate it, Josh. I think we only did our top 5, but I had Freeman at 7 for me. I think I think there is a there's a road to immediate playing time for him, which is super important for these rookies. But for him right now, I can't anoint him a starting running back in the NFL and a guy being or worth being drafted in the top, like, 24.
He's a third-round pick, though. Yeah. An early third-round pick, not even, like, a super late guy. I think if you're spending a third-round pick on a guy, I think, and somebody like Royce Freeman, who caught 81 out of 89 passes in college, he's a guy that you want on the team. He reminds me a lot of LeGarrette Blount, where he's like a bulldozer of sorts, or you could compare him to Jordan Howard, where he does kind of play like that as well. But he can catch the ball, yeah. So it's very interesting on what happens. I just don't think Booker's the guy. Henderson's there, too. He's not the guy. C.J. Anderson's gone. I think the writing is on the wall. I think it's going to be Royce Freeman is going to be the guy almost closest to number one running back touches as compared to Saquon Barkley. That's just me.
I think...
Is that your three?
He is.
Okay.
Oh, we're only that far. Who's your four?
I got Rashad Penny for the Seahawks. Look, they drafted him in the first round. He's not one of my favorite players in this class, but he's got that clear-cut playing time, I think, lined out for him. I think he's going to be the guy there. Most of us here are big Chris Carson fans. We liked what we saw out of him last year. He was a startable running back. But when you have a team drafting a running back in the first round, they are going to get a ton of touches, a ton of looks, and get every opportunity to be the lead dog there. And that's why I have Penny four.
I've already gone through I have my top four already. They were Saquon, they were Rojo, they were Darius Geis, and then four, I had Sony Michel. So I've already broke that down pretty well. So, Joshua?
Yeah, four, I would probably put, as much as I hate Rojo, I would probably put Rojo at four. It just, it makes sense. They have no other running back. I kind of have to squeeze him in there. He's a little bit, in my opinion, a smaller guy, but... If you line up a lot in shotgun, which I think is what they probably should for Jameis Winston, if he's in shotgun with Ronald Jones II, I think it's only good things that will happen for them fantasy wise.
Yeah, for me, like Rojo, I have Rojo 5, so lower than you two. I just think he's the least likely out of the other four guys I've listed to get to average over like 15 touches a game. Or close to 20. I don't think he's got the body size to be a bell cow running back. Yeah, they did draft him in the second round, spent big time draft capital on him. Explosive athlete. When you're going to look at his 40 time for the people who aren't crazy about draft, about all the early draft period, I think he ran 4.6 something at the combine, but he pulled a hamstring. He's more of a low 4.4 guy, extremely agile runner, extremely fast. So he does have the potential to be a big-time game-changer, home-run-type running back. I just think his touches are going to be down compared to the other four I listed.
My number five would probably be Sonny here. Again, being on the Patriots, he's going to touch the ball one way or another. Yep. He's going to get the ball in his hands, whether it's running the ball or catching the ball. So my top five would be Saquon, Darius Geis, Royce Freeman, Rojo and Sonny Michel.
Yeah, I had Royce Freeman at five. So yeah, like I said, I have Saquon, Ronald Jones, Darius Geis, Sonny Michel, and Royce Freeman.
The one sleeper who I think has potential to shoot up these rankings is Kerryon Johnson for me. Drafted him earlier than I thought they would have. They did bring in LeGarrette Blount as well. But it's going to be a running back by committee there. But I think he'll be the most talented running back. Ameer Abdullah, his time in Detroit is probably over with.
Yeah.
And you got Theo Riddick, who will be more of that third down receiving running back. But I think Kerryon Johnson, he's a very good receiver, very versatile runner, extremely patient. A lot of people have compared him to Le'Veon Bell because of how patient he is running the football. And the Detroit Lions are focusing on running the football and they invested a first-round pick into a new guard/center, and they've spent big-time money on that offensive line.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Kerryon Johnson. You know, he's someone who, as a Georgia fan, not a big fan of the Auburn players, but I believe he was injured in 2016. He came off an injury in 2017. He had 7 games, over 20 touches, with over 100 yards, including going into the last 3 weeks of the season. They played Georgia, Louisiana, Monroe, and Alabama, and they had to win out in order to get to the SEC championship games. He took over. 32 rushes, 167 yards, with 66 receiving yards and a touchdown. 137, one touchdown rushing. 104, one touchdown rushing. Georgia and Alabama's defenses were two of the top defenses in college football last year.
He murdered Georgia.
In that first week. Now, once they got to the SEC championship game, they were able to scheme against him and shut him down. But he has that ability to take over games. He is absolutely, he's different than any running back you've seen in Detroit in a long, long time.
I know this doesn't really have to do with our top five for rookie running backs, but if I'm on a dynasty league and I'm like one of the, if it's one of my last picks, I'm taking Kellen Ballage with the Miami Dolphins. You look at, they got Kenyon Drake. They signed Frank Gore in the offseason. Frank Gore's got maybe 1-2 years left. I would assume only one. He's old as dirt.
He is old.
But the thing is, we don't know what Kenyon Drake is. Kellen Ballage is a fourth-round draft pick here for the Dolphins. Big kid. He's fast. Ran a 4.46 at the combine. I think it's a very sneaky, sneaky guy here for fantasy rankings.
You want sneaky? Bo Scarborough. Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott's always whipping out titties, jumping in teapots. You don't know what he's going to do. Give me Bo Scarborough.
Deep sleeper for me would be Nyheim Hines.
I like that
for
one,
for the Colts. He reminds me a lot of Tariq Cohen.
Shocking. Oh, the Colts guy.
Darren Sproles type player. I think in a PPR league, I think there'll be weeks, especially if you're in a deep league, 14-team league, where he can get over 5-6 catches and over 10-plus points for you.
Speaking of Sproles, I can't believe the Eagles brought him back.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Makes no sense to me.
Moving on to wide receivers here, guys. I think we're going to have some similar ones and some very different ones here.
My number one is going to be DJ Moore for the Carolina Panthers. I think day one, he's going to establish himself as the lead dog in Carolina. Look, right now, they brought in Torrey Smith. He'll be more of that deep threat. They got Devin Funchess, Curtis Samuel. I think DJ Moore is the most talented receiver on that football team. I think he reminded the Panthers a lot of Steve Smith. He reminds me of a mixture of Steve Smith, a Golden Tate type guy who could do a lot of damage with the intermediate routes, solid route running, good hands. I like DJ Moore in Carolina.
I'm going Kelvin Ridley. I don't see how having someone like Julio Jones can hurt him. You've seen players like Mohamed Sanu, like Taylor Gabriel, look very, very good. And that's strictly because of the man named Matt Ryan. Having two big threats, there's enough to go around there. Mm-hmm. Even with the running game, even with who's the young tight end that they have?
Hooper.
Thank you, Austin Hooper. He's going to you're gonna see a big jump, in my opinion, in Austin Hooper's numbers as well, going into his third year, I believe, in the NFL. But Calvin Ridley, this is a best-case scenario for him.
My ranking here, I'm gonna go with DJ Moore, and the only reason why is because he is gonna be the quote unquote clear cut number one on that team. You could say Funches is, but I think it's gonna be DJ Moore show in the receiving aspect. So I'm going that route here with DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, I'm going two. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, for me, with Moore, I think he's got the best potential to reach like 1,000 yards.
DJ Moore, I'm only going two because I think the yardage will be there. It's the touchdowns that scare me. There's so much. Number one, red zone. You always have the threat of Cam Newton running the ball in. Then you have Christian McCaffrey, who's a red zone threat. You have Greg Olsen, who's a red zone threat. Yeah. Devin Funchess. Curtis Samuel still some type of a role there as well. DJ Moore is great. There's just a lot of mouths to feed on that Panther side of the ball. So that's why I have him at two and not one.
Second ranked wide receiver.
I got Ridley, so pretty much flip-flopped here. He's probably going to be, most likely he'll be the second most targeted receiver on the Falcons. He should be. He's the second most talented. Probably be doing a lot of work in the slot. So that could equate to a lot of receptions. Hopefully it does. Hopefully it gets over that 60, 70 reception mark for Atlanta. It's a high-powered offense. There's probably going to be a lot of shootouts. They play the Saints. The Bucks have improved, but most likely they'll still be able to get passed on. You got the Panthers as well. All these teams could score a lot of points. And in the NFC, there's going to be a lot of crazy games. There's a lot of good teams, and I think that schedule will help him out a lot.
My number two ranked wide receiver guy is Michael Gallup out of Colorado State to the Dallas Cowboys. Third round pick. Yeah, you can make that face if you want, but there is no more. There is no more Dez Bryant. Terrence Williams is awful. They know that. They do. They did sign. What's his face in the Allen Hurns in the offseason, but
they traded. What's his name?
Switzer.
Yeah.
Switzer's gone.
Got Tavon.
And they got Tavon Austin. Yeah, Tavon Austin. They have no true number one wide receiver. Michael Gallup. There was talk about Michael Gallup being a first-round pick earlier in this draft process, falling to the Cowboys here in the third round. And the thing is, guys, you got to look at this too. Look at your final rankings for wide receivers last year for the rookies. All right, Juju Smith-Schuster finished number one for rookie running back or rookie wide receivers. The second rookie wide receiver was Cooper Kupp. The third rookie wide receiver was. Where's the other one?
There weren't many.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Keelan Cole. So that's where I'm looking at. You look at these big name guys, and I'm going after my motto for the draft. I'm going rogue in a sense, and I'm not taking these top tier guys. I'm going with guys that I think are under the radar. And I think I could probably get them in the 11th, 12th round, but yet still end up being your wide receiver 24 overall, which what Dez was last year, or your wide receiver 30, which is what Cooper Kupp was.
Interesting.
I think it's a little early for Gallup. I don't have him in my top five, but it makes sense. Look, there's definitely going to be opportunity for him to play.
He's your wide receiver 2?
Wide receiver 2.
If he comes out, look, his competition, it's nothing great. Allen Hurns right now is probably the number one wideout for Dallas, and he's an average wide receiver. We've seen him put up over 1,000 yards before. I just really don't see a Dallas wide receiver coming close to 1,000 yards, and I think for a receiver to be that high in the rookie rankings, they'd probably have to come close to that for me.
You want to go to wide receiver 3?
Number 3, I got Austin Pettis. For the San Francisco 49ers. It's another team. They got a young quarterback.
Dante?
Why did I say Austin? Dante. It's going to be using the slot a lot. We saw Goodwin, who was able, Marquise Goodwin last year. It was pretty much the only option once Pierre Garçon went down and Jimmy Garoppolo was able to get him the football. I think Pettis is going to do the same thing for them this year. He's a smooth route runner. Will be able to do damage in the slot, and I think that's where Jimmy Garoppolo likes to do a lot of his damage at.
It's a very interesting pick, Tom. I don't hate it at all. You're kind of taking kind of the under-the-radar type pick, which I think makes a lot of sense, and Dante Pettis is, in my opinion, probably set up the best to succeed out of these rookie wide receivers. He's going to go there with two tight ends that can play pretty well and a quarterback like Jimmy G throwing him the ball. And a running game that's going to have Jerick McKinnon. So it's going to be very interesting.
My number 3 is Christian Kirk with the Arizona Cardinals.
I like it.
I think that Christian Kirk, you know, he gets Teddy Bridgewater for 2 or 3 games. And then Sam Bradford, right? Yeah, Sam Bradford. I keep doing that. I don't know why. Sam Bradford for 2 or 3 games. And then he's going to get Josh Rosen. He gets to play behind Larry Fitzgerald for this season. And there's really no one else. It's Bryce Butler. there's not really a whole lot there in terms of a wide receiver core. You have David Johnson. Jermaine Gresham is like the next touchdown threat in terms of passing. So
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah, Ricky Seals-Jones. He had like a 3 touchdown game last year. But Christian Kirk is a guy who's going to come out, and I think he's going to have – I don't think he's going to, like, murder things. I think he's going to be like the Cooper Kupp of last year. He's going to come out and just have a solid year, around 1,000 yards, plus or minus something, and have, you know, 6 to 8 touchdowns and just have himself a great rookie season.
My number 3, I like the Christian Kirk picked, Tim, but I'm going to go James Washington. James Washington with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, you look at Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah. He finishes a top 20 rookie wide receiver. And with the deletion of Martavis Bryant, you're going to see James Washington fill that role, but also you're going to see him kind of be a playmaker on that team as well, with Juju Smith-Schuster only being the number two wide receiver. I think it's a lot of added value with James Washington and the speed and the way that he can go up and catch the ball in traffic.
I think it's a little early, but I really don't mind it. I could see Washington having 30 receptions for like 8 touchdowns, and that Steelers offense, they run a lot of 3 wide receiver sets, so he's definitely going to be getting playing time. And you hit the nail on the head with Martavis Bryant getting deleted. Like, that adds a bunch of playing time for Washington.
I was going like this.
So that was number 3 for each. Who'd you have one more time?
I had Pettis.
You had Pettis. I had Washington. You had?
Christian Kirk.
All right, number 4. Who do you guys have?
This shouldn't be my pick, but I'm going to go with Equanimeous St. Brown.
Wow. You could just say any of the 3. Yeah.
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Look, the Packers, they lost Jordy. They still got Adams. They still got Cobb.
Added Jimmy.
I think there's potential for one of these rookie wide receivers to come out and in the passing game. I don't know if ESP's gonna find a home here. He seems like kind of a head case, but he might be the most physically gifted receiver Aaron Rodgers has ever had, especially with that size, 6'5". He's fast. All the athletic gifts you want. I just want him to get playing time. I think him and Aaron Rodgers could do wonders and create havoc across the NFC.
I love me some Equanimeous St. Brown. I love how crazy he is. He speaks 37 different languages.
Doesn't stretch.
Refuses.
His dad just yip during all of his workout regimens. But my number 4 is one of the most mentally sound wide receivers in this draft class, Courtland Sutton. Adding him with the veterans like Emmanuel Sanders and like Demaryius Thomas, huge benefit. They have Case Keenum. I know I keep mocking you guys saying that Paxton Lynch is going to be the guy in 2018 because I do think he's going to get his shot. But he's the last. I'm a sucker for big-bodied wide receivers. He's the last, I think, the guy. Like, he has the chance to go out there and be the big body number one, go out there, get the ball, wide receiver. He's a great guy. He's mentally sound. He works hard. And I think he has the opportunity to go out there in Denver and be a part of that trio. I like that trio. If they can get a quarterback, no matter who it is, if Case Keenum plays like he did last year for the Minnesota Vikings, then the Broncos are thrilled because Sutton, Thomas, and Sanders are going to have much, much, much better years.
My number 4, I'm going to go ahead and go with Christian Kirk. Kind of everything that you said about Christian Kirk, Tim, I think it just makes sense. You look at Sam Bradford, he likes to dink and dunk. Christian Kirk coming over the middle, if he is playing on the outside or the slot, either way, I feel pretty confident with him producing fantasy purposes. The worst wide receiver in the world, John Brown, is now gone from there. So Christian Kirk will have a pretty decent role in this offense. And once Larry Fitzgerald does decide to hang it up, maybe like 6 years from now, then we could see Christian Kirk really explode next year and the year after.
Josh, what do you think of Sutton?
Sutton is outside of my top 5. I don't know. Dude, you guys are going to laugh at. You guys are already laughing at my list, but wait until I tell you my number 5 overall. So
I think we might be on the same page. I think we're going to be the same.
Who?
My number 5, Jacksonville Jaguars, DJ Chark.
No. It was close. I had Chark there, but I at the last second I looked at it, and I just think there's too many receiving options, and there's somebody else I like a little bit better.
DJ Chark, listen, I like what I saw from him, and they lost the AR-15. They lost Allen Hurns. Blake Bortles is going to try to find someone to fall in love with. Dante Moncrief can't stay on the field. Marquise Lee is Marquise Lee. And I'm not scared. Dede Westbrook, I mean, he's just a deep threat on the team. DJ Chark, another guy who I think could have a Cooper Kupp type season. Just come out there, be the reliable go-to for the Jaguars. So I like Chark.
Who do you got, Josh?
My number five is Tre'Quan Smith, New Orleans Saints. Tre'Quan Smith has very, very long arms, and then he most of his catches in college were for first downs. That's another plus of his, a possession-type wide receiver. But the thing is, you look at this, when Michael Thomas was a rookie, what did he do? He exploded. He was a top 15 wide receiver. Michael Thomas is now the veteran. Now you're bringing in a rookie wide receiver such as Tre'Quan Smith. I am expecting Tre'Quan to have not the same exact outcome, but pretty close. I think he's going to have a pretty good rookie year. You also look at Ted Ginn Jr. Ted Ginn ended up as a wide receiver 35 last year. Ted Ginn is still on the team, but I think Tre'Quan Smith is much better than Ted Ginn Jr. And if you look at some
Ted
of
Ginn
the...
Ted Ginn was wide receiver 35?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't predict that.
Exactly. So if you look at that, you compare some of them. Tre'Quan Smith, I think, has a very good shot to end up as a high-end fantasy wide receiver for these rookies.
My number five's the one, the only, Anthony Miller for the Chicago Bears.
I had that pencil.
It's a... That offense, you know, Mitchell, Trubisky, Matt Nagy, they should be, that offense should be a lot better. And I think Miller has got the chance to get that starting slot role penciled in right now. They drafted him pretty early. And I think he's got the ability to have the most receptions out of any rookie running back this year.
Fix those hands a little bit.
He's got to fix the hands a little bit, but he's a tremendous route runner. He can also go deep. And I just really like everything he brings to the table. He's wide receiver, I think, six for me. Player 60 on my big board. So I think very highly of the kid. Went to a small school, but tore it up.
Yeah, well, he was a monster there.
I remember when we were looking at the quarterback for Memphis, that was one of the things that we brought up was just how good Anthony Miller looked. Like, that was kind of like, we noticed him more than we know. I can't remember who the quarterback was. I'm blanking right now. But, yeah, kids and stud, I agree with you completely, Tom. I love probably one of the best system fits out of any of the wide receivers drafted the whole draft, in all honesty.
So if you take out Martavis Bryant, you put in James Washington. I know you guys laughed at my pick. I don't care. Martavis Bryant, we know the situation that he was in last year. He wasn't playing as much, blah, blah, blah. He still was a top 50 wide receiver, which would have been, if you look at it, would have been right behind Keelan Cole for rookies, which would have been the fourth rookie. Top five. That's top five. Four. Top five. Just saying. Just throwing it out there.
He's gonna have like five games where he catches the ball, but he'll probably get a touchdown in all of those games.
We'll see. I'd rather have that than a guy that's not scoring touchdowns and ends up outside the top 50.
Well, yeah, but if you're only getting a successful week, less than, what is that, like 40% of your fantasy regular season? Can't be having that. Can't be having that, Josh. There's too many mouths to feed right now in Pittsburgh.
Is it crazy that I'd probably rather draft Deshaun Hamilton for the Broncos instead of Cortland Sutton in fantasy?
I don't think it's crazy. I like Deshaun Hamilton a lot. Actually, when we get to the Browns here at a later date, I think the Browns should have taken Deshaun Hamilton instead of Antonio Callaway. Personally, that's just me. I like Deshaun Hamilton a lot.
Just think of this, right? Zay Jones and Corey Davis. Those were the top rookie wide receivers coming off the board. And
Corey Davis struggled with injury.
And Buffalo decided to use Zay Jones outside instead of in the slot.
And now he tried to jump out a window because of it.
But at the same time, you look at those two wide receivers, you probably spent you probably spent a decent draft pick on Corey Davis. Zay Jones maybe a little bit later. But the thing is, you look at somebody like a Keelan Cole, who wasn't even on radars, Cooper Kupp, who was a late-round flyer at best.
But, Josh, when you're doing the draft...
I'm gonna look up the last 5 years and figure that... Or, last 3 years and figure that out.
This goes back to the Vikings guy.
Josh Doxon and Treadwell. Treadwell.
Thank you, Laquon Treadwell. I mean, this goes back... years. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But when you are drafting and you are looking at teams' depth charts and you're looking at how teams are, There's no way that you're going to see, hey, you know what? This guy's going to be injured for three quarters of the season.
Well, you got to also think about this, too. Most of the time when you're drafting a rookie wide receiver or a rookie player in general, you overreach for the most part,
mm-hmm.
at least by a round that you should, if not even more. Some of these guys, I know I definitely have, I've overreached before. Yeah, so if I see a Calvin Ridley out there, just like Josh Doctson and Treadwell were out there at one point in time, those guys were really, really early picks for us. Now it's getting to a point where I think I would rather have whoever else over that guy and not reach for that pick.
Oh, I mean, the list goes on. You have Corey Coleman. That's another one. The kid, the speedster who went to the Bengals.
Ross.
Thank you, John Ross. That's another one. So we'll see. Another sleeper for me is Braxton Berrios from Miami going to the Patriots. You never know what the Patriots are going to do. He's got good hands. He likes to go up and fight for the ball. He'll have to earn his spot, but possible. That's all I got for wide receiver, Josh.
Moving on to tight ends. What are we looking at here?
It's a whole lot of ugly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Ravens, one of their two guys that they drafted, Mark Andrews or Hayden Hurst, have potential. But I'm really not even looking at any of them to be fantasy relevant, in all honesty.
No, I mean...
I didn't even rank them.
And I mean, you really can't. I mean, you take two of the top five immediately off the board, put them on the same team. Who the hell knows? I think, I mean, and then the fact that the Eagles jump up just to take Gogurt so the friggin' Cowboys can't. Talk about the friggin' balls on Jason Witten. Not only does he wait, but he waits until the night of the first round of the draft.
Dallas might have known, though.
No, they didn't. There's all the stories out there of Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett out there right now begging him to come back and play one more season. They were completely, completely blindsided by this move. Completely. And especially, I'm willing to bet, and I don't know if this is true or not, but the way that they played Dez, the way that they handled that whole situation, the way that they handled the whole Tony Romo situation. Jason Witten has played with those guys for the last decade. He set them up. He 100% set them up. I truly, truly believe that. He said, you know what? It's been great. You guys have treated me well, but you keep saying, hey, it's nothing personal. You've been great for the organization. This is just business. Well, you know what? Draft night. Thursday night.
Drop that.
Round one. Here, just lay it out on the freaking table. I'm done. Good luck. And it allowed teams like the freaking Philadelphia Eagles to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we already got Josh's boy. But we're going to jump up. We're going to take Gogurt. Dallas, good luck with Dalton Schultz from Stanford.
Dalton Schultz isn't awful.
He's not awful.
He can block.
Yeah.
He's not Jason Witten. He's not. No. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I truly do believe that it was a power move. I 100% believe that with all my heart.
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting. I don't know. I don't even know if you can, like, come back from that, you know? I think Witten's just got to be done after that, right? You would have to think so.
Well, but the Cowboys are begging him. There is no way. There's no way. That if Jason Witten tells them that even if he does it after they cut Dez, if they cut Dez the way that they did, where they didn't offer Dez even take less money, they treated him dirty, right? Even if after that he says, hey, you know what? I don't like what's going on here right now. I'm done. At least then they would have had the opportunity to set their draft appropriately. Leighton Van Der Esch isn't getting drafted at number 19 overall if they have...
They're not going to take a tight end there.
I'm not saying they're going to take a tight end, but they're going to take some sort of offensive weapon. Maybe they take Calvin Ridley there.
I disagree with that.
They have... If with Jason Witten gone, after the first round of the draft, going into Saturday, after that news on... Or going into Friday, after the news that Thursday that came out, they don't... Allen Hurns is their only playmaker. That's it. They have nothing else.
Traded for Tavon. They got... Cole Beasley, got Zeke, got one of the best offensive lines in football.
You have Zeke. Yeah. Tavon Austin, come on, let's call it a spade. He's a great additional piece. He's a great pawn, but he's no one to go after. At least Dez took some of the pressure off of the other wide receivers just by being there.
All right, now that we're done hating on these tight ends, you said your sneaky wide receiver was Braxton Berrios?
Yep.
And who was yours, Tom?
I like Deshaun, but it'd probably be a mixture of Reese Fountain or Deion Kane, two guys that the Colts picked. There's going to be opportunity to play there. I think one of those guys, if they come out and get that wide receiver two spot for the Colts, and if Andrew Luck plays, we've seen guys like Moncrief go out and put up good numbers with the touchdowns. I think the yardage will be there. And if Luck's playing, he's going to probably throw over 4,000 yards, and there'll be plenty of opportunity to go around there.
Yeah, mine was going to be Deion Kane as well. When I saw the Colts draft Deion Kane, I was pretty pumped for you. I was pretty pumped for Deion Kane. He goes to a system where they don't really have anything really after T.Y. Hilton. Mm-hmm. You're adding pieces to the puzzle. Deion Kane coming out of Clemson makes a lot of sense. I like that fit. So that's one that I really like. It's funny, you look at some of these other guys, man. Trey Quinn is on ESPN, is ranked the number one 61 fantasy relevant player over guys like guys that have been drafted ahead of him, like Ray McLeod out of Buffalo, where Buffalo doesn't have a true number one wide receiver besides Calvin Benjamin, right? And over other wide receivers, it's pretty comical when you look at that and see that. So, although we did talk about Trey Quinn on one episode, so all right, anything else, guys? What about Auden Tate? I know he was he drafted late or was he?
I thought he was undrafted.
I can't remember, but he's on the Bengals. I know that
he should play tight end.
He should.
His 4.8 40 or whatever the hell he
ran. Auden Tate was undrafted. Oh no, I take that back. 35th pick in the 7th round, Auden Tate.
So Auden Tate going to the Cincinnati Bengals
basically undrafted.
But he does catch the ball. Basically undrafted, Trey Quinn, but he does catch the ball. He's a huge freaking dude. Is there any possibility he adds anything to be like a late round guy, or he's just strictly waiver material and hoping for the best?
If he plays tight end, he might be relevant.
I'm gonna reserve judgment until I see anything that. I mean, listen, they lost.
That was your boy earlier in the process.
Yeah,
him and Simi.
Yeah. I'm gonna reserve judgment a little bit. I like him, but you don't know what the hell the Bengals are doing, how they see their team. You just don't know.
Very interesting top five guys for running back and wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think running back we were pretty close, and wide receiver we were all way off. So
wide receiver's tough, especially now when we're not seeing them in camp and seeing what they're doing there and hearing how they progress.
We mentioned it best.
We take different views towards it, too.
Well, and wide receiver is where I think we were all the most off in terms of mock. Players who we thought would be drafted early fell crazy. The order that they were drafted was way off. And then, you know, like you mentioned, Josh, the just past history of how bad first-round receivers have really been. It's not good, that's for sure.
Question is, will it continue? And we're going to find out in the 2018 NFL season. So very interesting stuff and very interesting rankings. Pretty excited to see how this fantasy season starts out and shakes out. So anything else, boys?
That's all I got.
Tim?
No, I don't think I have anything right this second.
All right. That's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed our fantasy rankings for the running back and wide receiver position, because quarterback doesn't matter right now, and tight end is awful. So for Tim, Tom, and myself, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Kick Sports. You can follow us on, what is yours, Pony_Keg_Tom, and at Fight Talk Tim. You guys can email us PonyKickSports@gmail.com.
We are just under 18 weeks away from most fantasy football drafts. Start getting your boards ready.
Woo! Until next time.